Brother Lewis Parker IV, minister of the Church of Christ, Sugar Land Church of Christ, in Sugar Land, Texas. We're very thankful to have him on the call tonight, and he will be speaking tonight from the subject, the truth about whose prayer does God hear. Brother Parker, will you tell us the truth about this?
We're just so blessed to be on this evening, and we just thank Brother Brooks so much for this opportunity to come before such a wonderful audience, and the success of this program is evident in the fact that there are so many participating in this program, and not just from the greater Houston area where I'm from, but all over the country and even all over the world. And we're just so thankful for men such as Brother Brooks, Brother Flounder, who are able to take time to put such a wonderful program together, y'all. And my prayer is that it don't stop, that it continue. And so we're just so blessed to be considered part of the program. And we're also thankful for all the men who went before us and stood flat-footed and just preached the word of God. I appreciate Brother Colley, who preached tonight and done such a magnificent job. And we all ought to recognize that baptism is indeed essential unto salvation. Like Brother Colley, I would like the audience to know that our plea is the word of God. And just as Brother Colley quoted Thomas Campbell, we speak where the Bible speaks, and we're silent where the Bible is silent. So therefore, it's necessary for us as the preachers of God to preach the word of God without addition thereto or subtraction therefrom. And that's really what the Church of Christ is about. That's one of the things that I would like our listening audience to recognize about the Church of Christ, is that we stick with the word of God. And that's what it's all about. I always like to say that the word of God is not a pair of pants that, you know, you take your suit off and you hang your suit in the closet, and you come back to that suit some months later, and something funny always happens. Seems as if whenever you hang your suit in the closet for a little while, when you come back to it, the suit, it shrink a little bit. But nevertheless, whenever clothes or don't fit us properly, we take it to get hemmed so that way it could fit us. Unfortunately, we live in a world today as that's exactly how people treat the word of God. They treat the word of God as if it were a pair of pants that you could hem in order to fit yourself. But we cannot change the word of God to fit us. What we ought to be doing is changing ourselves in order to fit the word of God. And that comes through the transformation that God gives us. So our topic tonight is the truth about whose prayer does God hear. The truth about whose prayer does God hear. Now, let me take the opportunity to give you the scriptural references that I intend to use on this evening. So if you have your pen and paper, just walk with me through these few scriptural references that I intend to use this evening. Number one, John 9:31. John chapter 9, verse 31. Acts chapter 10, verse 1 through 6. Acts chapter 10, verse 1 through 6. 1 Peter 3 and 7. 1 Peter 3 and 7. Proverbs 28:9. Proverbs 28:9. Mark 11:25 and 26. Mark 11:25 and 26. Matthew 5:22-24. Matthew 5:22-24. Exodus 3:1-6. Exodus 3:1-6. And you may put a star by that one, because that's where we're going to hang our hat. Exodus 3, 1 through 6. And also, finally, Matthew 15, 7 through 9. Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9. Now, the truth about whose prayer does God hear? Now, often, whenever we consider such a topic, the subject at hand is whether or not God hears prayers of people who are not saved. However, tonight I kind of want us to consider it in a different light. And instead of considering whether or not God hears the unsaved, we want to consider the person, the nature, and the holiness of God, because that's really what it boils down to. But first, let us look at John 9:31. The Bible says, "Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and does his will, him he heareth." And this verse was spoken by the man who was cured by Jesus, and the religious leaders wondered about it. They did not believe the man, and the man said, "Well, all I know is that this man healed me. That's all I know." So he says, "Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and does his will, him he heareth." So the verse is letting us know, albeit in John and not spoken by Jesus, the verse is letting us know about God not hearing sinners. He says, "But if any man be a worshiper of God and doth his will, him he heareth." Also, Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. Here's another verse that people would like to go to and say, "Well, look, you know, God heard this man who was not a believer at this point." And an interesting thing about Acts is that this was actually after the church was established. The verse we read for John was not. But here it says, "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God." And so we see here that Cornelius and his whole household, if you continue reading, were saved. And so, but notice it says that thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And what God did, if you read Acts 10:11, was send the apostle Peter to them. And Peter caused the house of Cornelius, as well as Cornelius himself, to be baptized. Now this incident lets us know that God, those who are seeking God, God makes a way for them to find. And that's one of the major points that I'd like to hit tonight, that if people are seeking, sincere seekers of God, then God will make a way for them to be saved. God will make a way. He'll lead a preacher into their life. Some way God will make a way for them if they're sincerely seeking after God. But notice here also, it says in 1 Peter 3:7, that's where I'll go first. And I want to give you four instances where people, even people who have been baptized, we have to understand that our prayers can be hindered as well. And that has to do with the nature, that has to do with the holiness of God. And that's the real deal behind whose prayers does God hear. It's the nature of God, and I'll show us that in a minute. But let us read 1 Peter 3:7. It says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them," speaking of their wives, "according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." So even as baptized believers, even as members of the body of Christ. Look, if we are not treating correctly our spouses, the Bible teaches that our prayers could be hindered. Likewise, when we reject the word, Proverbs 28:9 says, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination." So therefore, if we are rejecting the word of God, people who reject God's word, it says that even his prayer shall be abomination. Also, the refusal to forgive. Let's look at Mark 11:25-26. "And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." In other words, if we refuse to forgive others, then God doesn't forgive us. And if we don't receive forgiveness from God, then not only is there a breakdown in our relationship with mankind, there's a breakdown in our relationship with God, which means that God does not hear our prayer. Somebody said, "Well, wait a minute, isn't he God? Don't God see everything, hear everything, knows everything?" True, but don't forget, we have to talk about the nature and the holiness of God. So finally, let us go to divided relationships in Matthew 5:22-24. Matthew 5:22-24. Jesus speaking says, "But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hellfire." Watch this. "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." So notice that when there is tension, or when there is animosity in our relationship with others, when there is a breakdown in that relationship, our prayers are hindered. Not only that, it teaches that our worship to God is hindered. We could be sitting up Sunday in, Sunday out, but if there's somebody that we're harboring hatred against, God is not even accepting our worship. He's not hearing our prayers. So when we talk about whose prayers does God hear, it's not just a matter of a Christian versus a non-Christian. It's about the holiness of God. Well, what do you mean by that? Now let's turn to Exodus 3, and this is where we're hanging our hat on. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Whenever we often study about God answering prayers and whose prayers God answered, the first two verses that I gave you in John and in Acts 10, John 9, are the verses that we most often hear. And I think those are excellent scriptural references to make. But I prayed to God as I would normally do before preaching a sermon, and I sought direction from His Majesty on which direction to go on this evening. And Exodus chapter 3, I think, is a good place because it shows us not only the verses that I gave, not only shows whose prayers does God answer or not answer or hear or not hear, it shows us why. It shows us the nature of God. And so Exodus chapter 3, beginning at verse number 1. "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not thither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. We have here an example of a theophany, the personification, a representation of God in person. And so God would raise up this prophet Moses. And when Moses first met God, he met him from a burning bush. And Moses saw a sight that he never ever imagined that he would see, and a sight that would be considered impossible, actually, to see. He saw a bush which was on fire. But there was no need to call 911, because although the bush was on fire, the bush was not burning. So Moses had to go and investigate. He turned aside to see, what is going on? I'm seeing this with my own eyes. I'm looking at this bush on fire. This bush on fire should be burning up, but the bush is not burning. So the Bible says he turned aside to take a look. He came near, but the voice from the bush, God said, hold on, don't come close. As a matter of fact, take your shoes from off of your feet, because the place that you are standing is holy ground. And not only that, whenever God introduced himself as, I'm the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses hid his face. Why? Because he says that he was afraid to look upon God. Now, why is that so important? Because, and what does that have to do with whose prayers are God? Here's why. Because it shows us the nature of God. It shows us that God is so holy that we are not worthy to enter into his presence. And guess what? Praying to God is communicating with him. By faith, we're accessing the presence of God. And in order to access the presence of God, we must be made holy our own selves. That's the message that I want to drive home today. Whose prayers does God hear? It has to do more with the nature of God. God is so holy. God is so perfect. We, in our sinful conditions, whether we're Christians or not, even Christians, we saw earlier that when we get caught up in various sins, when we're not reconciled with our spouses, our brothers, even our prayers are hindered. Why? Because the nature of God. God is so holy that we must be made holy to enter into his presence. Finally, I want to look at Matthew 15. Matthew 15, 7 through 9. Jesus says, you hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, Jesus quoted from Isaiah the prophet, saying, this people draweth nigh to me with their mouth, and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. See, the problem with it is that we could sing all day about how much we love God, how good that he is. But if we're truly wanting to be in the presence of God, our hearts have to be made near to him. We can't just honor him with lip service, but our hearts have to be made near to him. And the way that occurs is when we are baptized into Christ. God makes us holy. We become the people of God. And look, when we are baptized into Christ Jesus, then we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In other words, that when we have the Holy Spirit, Paul teaches in Romans that we become a child of God. And when we are a child of God, then the communication with God, the access to God is established. Why? Because we now have that relationship with God. And when we have a relationship with God, then we are able to communicate consistently with God. But remember, even after the relationship is established, we have to continue in his word, his way, and his will, or else our prayers will be hindered as well. So I want us to be able to see tonight, certainly for those who have not been baptized into the Church of Christ, I want us to see that in order to have a relationship with God, you have to have the Holy Spirit. And in order to get the gift of the Holy Spirit, you must be baptized. So let me take you through God's plan for man's salvation. Now, I'm aware that there are many people who teach multiple doctrines as it relates to salvation. But as a minister of God, I think it's important for me to stick within the boundaries of the Holy Scriptures. I'm not allowed to teach what a textbook said. I'm not allowed to teach what a popular theologian said in the 16th century. I'm only able to teach the Word of God. And so although there are so many people preaching so many different things, it's important for us to come back to the Bible. And the Bible is clear that one must hear the message of salvation, the fact that Jesus died, he was buried, he rose again on the third day. I would like for you to take down these verses, which I'm going to give you. Acts 15:7. Romans 10:17, hearing the gospel of salvation, after much dispute, and Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word and believe. Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing by the word of God. So you must believe the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, that Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Believe that. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Be willing to repent, to change your whole concept of God, your worldview. Luke 13:3-5, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Confess, Matthew 10:32 and Romans 10:10. Jesus himself said, "There whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him shall I confess before my Father which is in heaven." So we have hearing and believing. We have repenting and confessing. Finally, Acts 2:37-38. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins." Watch this. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So when it relates to mankind's salvation, the Bible is very clear. You must hear the word of God, believe, repent, confess, and finally be buried in the liquid tomb of baptism. Baptism is indeed essential unto salvation. I'm very aware that there are many people today that teaching you don't have to really be baptized in order to be saved. But the Bible is very clear that baptism is indeed essential unto salvation. And if you hear, if you're listening, and you haven't been baptized into the church of Christ, I want you to know that when you are baptized, as we just read, as you read for your own self in Acts 2:38, when we're baptized, not only do we receive remission of sins, but we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, we become a child of God. As a child of God, a relationship with God is established. And once we have that relationship with God, we have direct access to communication with God. Anyone who is a sincere seeker of the Lord, God, you could seek after him and God will make a way for you to find him. But in order to be saved, we must have a relationship with him. But that cannot happen unless we're baptized into his body, which is his church. So my prayer for you this evening, if you have not been baptized, please get hold to Brother Brooks. You know how to contact him. I pray you continue to listening to this series, wonderful series of messages, excellent speakers. I pray you continue to listen because there's a lot from the Word of God that's being taught the wrong way. But one of the points of this lectureship is to just preach the truth, teach the truth in love, not opinions, not what we think. Because as I always say, what my opinion is and what I think, at the end of the day, it really don't matter. The only thing that matters is what thus saith the Lord. Which is why you're hearing all these preachers, including myself, giving you book, chapter, and verse. So that way you don't have to take our word for it. You could read it for your own self. That's the message for this evening. I thank you so much for your time and your attention. Again, if you have any questions, feel free to contact me. You can get hold of Brother Brooks. He knows how to contact me if you have any questions about anything that was covered. I'll turn it back over to Brother Brooks. Brother Brooks, thank you so much.
And we thank you, Brother Parker, and we are thankful for you, for Brother Colley tonight. You both have done what we asked you to do. And that is to tell us the truth. Number one, about the baptism for the remission of sins. Number two, tonight, a double hitter. Truth about whose prayer does God hear. You guys have made it plain, and we appreciate you so very much. If you're on the call tonight, you're not a member of the Church of Christ. We love you. We thank you for joining us. We pray that you would consider the things that were taught. For it is appointed unto man once to die. And after that, there's a judgment. My friend, people are dying every day. The COVID-19 is presenting death to the world. And God is sending us all a message. Prepare to meet your God. If you want to hear these lessons tonight that you've heard, you can go to our website, HollandHeightsCoc.net. That's HollandHeightsCoc.net. And the lessons are recorded. If you desire to be baptized, email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And we will assist you to get to a Church of Christ close to you that you may get baptized. We encourage you to do it tonight, because they will last eternally. Too late. Tomorrow night, Brother B.J. Clark from Memphis, Tennessee, can see he's going to be talking to us about the truth about being saved by grace alone. And then we're going to close this week with Brother Richard Stevens out of Dallas, Texas, the truth about whose name will be in the book of life. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings. Thank you for our listening audience. Thank you for our men of God who have spoke the truth from your word. And Lord, we pray that our listening audience have received with meekness your engrafted word, for it's able to save their souls. Thank you for the support that we're getting by members of the body of Christ all across this nation. Help us, Father, to restore, revive, take us back to the basics. And we pray for our friends, family, loved ones, co-workers, and those we love, that they do not tarry. Arise and be baptized. Wash away their sins. Call it in the name of the Lord. We pray this prayer in the precious name of Jesus. We pray. Amen. Join us again tomorrow night for another lesson from the Word of God. Brother Tommy Brooks, host minister of the Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call of the Church of Christ, located 1005 West Little York in Houston, Texas. May God bless each of you. Have a good night.